We're going to start out this morning with a little contest. I have asked four women today to come up to the front, to the platform today. They're going to be helping me. They're going to be participating in a contest. So all of you that I've invited, I ask that you come up to the front at this time. All right, should be four. Who is the fourth? It's Frost. She's coming. We have Frost. Yeah. So while we're waiting, just tell somebody that you're. Tell somebody Happy Mother's Day, right? To a lady. Great. There's our fourth contestant. She's going to come up over here to my left. All right. So I have two contestants on my left, two on my right. These four ladies are going to be helping me today. There are a lot of quotes that can be attributed to mothers. And we're going to see if they can help fill in some of the blanks of these quotes today. All right, we're going to go one at a time. So, contestants, you can't be shouting out the answers. All right. So, and that also, if you do shout out answers that and it's not your turn, you are disqualified. And so, this is a good time to mention that there are prizes, and you would not want to be disqualified for those prizes. All right, and you in the audience, I'm thinking of a few who just like to talk out loud. I'm going to be say this as politely as I can. No talking. Zip it. All right. So, quotes that could be attributed to mothers saying these particular things. Who'd like to go? Well, let's just start here with Frost. All right, we'll go with Frost first. And I'm going to give you enough to get started, and then you're going to have to try to finish the sentence. Okay, and I might prompt you and help. I might if you're struggling. All right. So Frost, whenever you would go somewhere, whenever you would go out of the house or out for an evening, Mom would sometimes remind you to make sure that you have
went to the restroom.
Okay, make sure that you would have clean. Okay. Make sure that you would have, well, okay. Clean underwear. Everybody ever heard that one? My wife said these are hard questions. All right. So any other ladies, all right, if you knew that question, why did your mother tell you to wear clean underwear when you went out of the house? In an accident. That's right. You get a prize.
I get a prize. Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can just stay up there and smile and hold your candy bar. All right. Okay, Vaughn. All right, Vaughn. Sitting on the living room floor. How many times did you hear these words from Mom? Don't sit too close to the TV. That's right. Okay, second part to that question. Why?
Because you'll go blind.
Okay, because you'll go blind. Nice. Very nice. Enjoy your
chocolate.
All right. Okay. All right. You're welcome. Nice job. All right, Suzanne. At the supper table, you often hear mothers tell you to clean your plate. Why?
There were starving children in China.
Yeah, there's starving children in China or Africa, right? Yeah, who would love to eat, right? Yeah, very good. Nice job.
I'll just take that.
Oh, you can't get it till you answer the question. All right. All right. Here it is, Barb. You ready? If you asked, Mom, can I go to Johnny's house? What would Mom typically say to you?
Is his mother going to be there?
Okay. She would tell you to ask
your father.
Okay. All right. Ask your father. Okay. And the bonus for you, Dad would respond with,
is his mother going to be
there? No. Close.
Ask your mother.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you for helping out. How many have ever heard those things? Yeah. All the guys are like, yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's pray and give them another hand. Right. They didn't. A lot of people don't like to stand up front. God, thank you for today. Thank you for the blessings of your presence. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for women. Thank you, Lord, that we get to celebrate your grace and your mercy and your love for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I do want to extend Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. And I want to share a message that I hope every woman in the room will find meaningful and encouraging as you continue on in your relationship with Jesus. And so right at the beginning, I want to say that the theme of today's message is this. Jesus placed a very high value on women through his life and through his teachings. And ladies, if you walk away understanding anything today, let it be this, that I am valuable to Jesus, that he holds me in the highest regard, that he values who I am, and he has gifted me to make a difference in the church and in the world, and that I am a workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Amen? In fact, all of you ladies today, why don't we just say this? I am valuable to Jesus. He holds me in the highest regard. He values who I am. He's gifted me to make a difference in the church and in the world. And I am his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Amen. And that is the full message that we want to share this morning, and I want to kind of tease that out and expand that just a little bit, but I want to give you a little cultural and historical background piece before we do move forward today. Do you know that in the first century Roman world and in the Jewish culture of that day, women, for the most part, were regarded as second-class citizens? They were thought to be most just a piece of property. They were demoralized, they were depersonalized, and they were objectified within the culture of Jesus' day. And Jesus entered into that social environment, and he demonstrated a regard for women that was entirely different from all of his Jewish contemporaries. Jesus treated all women with the highest regard, and there are a number of ways that he did that, and I want to share a few of those ways with you today. There are at least three ways that Jesus demonstrated value, the value of women. And the way that he did this was this. First of all, Jesus demonstrated high value on women by recognizing their value as persons. Now, on one occasion during Jesus' ministry travels, Jesus got involved in a discussion with the religious leaders about marriage and about divorce. And you might have recalled that particular conversation as you read through the Gospels. And the religious leaders were very frequently following Jesus around, trying to trick him into saying something that they could criticize or saying something that they could condemn and catch him in. And in that particular day, women or only men could divorce their wives. Only the man could divorce his wife. And they were, and men were using every and any excuse to do so. If they didn't like their cooking skills, if they didn't satisfy them sexually, if they gained weight, they would just simply divorce their wives for any and every reason. And this is what was happening in the day. And so Matthew records the conversation in Matthew 19. You don't have to turn there. We'll turn to some other scriptures later. But Matthew 19 says that some Pharisees, whenever you hear the word Pharisee, you're just like, oh no, right? Here we go. Some Pharisees came to him to test Jesus. And they asked Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? That's what they asked him. Now, just pausing just a minute, it's very, very possible that the Pharisees that were asking Jesus this question were seeking to justify their very own actions of getting a divorce and remarrying, getting a divorce and remarrying, and getting a divorce and remarrying. And so Jesus responds in this way. Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so that they are no longer two, but they are one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And Jesus is actually quoting from the Genesis account, from the very beginning in Genesis. Now, Jesus, by saying this and in saying this, Jesus understood that the norm of the day was to view women as something that could be easily cast off and thrown away. That was the view of men. They just, you know, for of women is that if I don't like her, if I'm unhappy, I can just cast her off. I could just throw her off. You don't like your servant, right? You can kick him to the curb. You don't like your dog. You can kick him to the curb. You don't like your wife. You can kick them to the curb. And that was the view of the day. And so Jesus' answer was intentional. It was, and it had, it was purposeful. And it had an underlying meaning. And the underlying meaning was this. And everyone around him who was within earshot knew exactly what Jesus was saying. And Jesus, what he meant by the quoting from Genesis was that women are equal before men, or equal with men before God. That women are created in the image of God just as men are created in the image of God. And that women have a free will, that women have a heart and soul, women have a conscience, women have a personal responsibility for their own thoughts and for their own actions, for their own sin, that women are equal with men before God. And so in a world where there was this definite tier system, this definite caste system, in a world where women were treated poorly, Jesus comes ushering in the kingdom of God with a completely new set of values, with a completely new set of principles and priorities. And he elevates the value of women equal to that of the men of his day. Whereas before it was like this, Jesus comes bringing the kingdom, teaching the kingdom, preaching the kingdom, and brings up the value of women so that it's to be where it's supposed to be, equal with men, created in the image of God. So one of the radical things that Jesus did when he came bringing the kingdom was to treat every person, male or female, even-handedly. He treated them even-handedly. Aren't you glad? Right? I mean, I'm so glad that Jesus came and did that. And one of the ways that he did this, you can find this all throughout the Gospels, that he regularly addressed women in public. Men didn't do that in Jesus' day. Men didn't address women in public. Men didn't have conversations with women in public. And if you might remember, the disciples were just shocked, amazed to find Jesus talking with a woman at a Samaritan well. In fact, they were probably more along the lines of appalled. They were appalled to find Jesus talking with a woman at the well. It was unheard of to linger in public with a woman, let alone speak to a woman in a public setting. But Jesus comes along and he says, I have a new way. Right? He says, not only does he say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but he says, I have a new way. I have a kingdom way that I'm inviting you to follow. He spoke freely with the woman that was caught in adultery, didn't he? He spoke freely with the widow women. He spoke freely with the woman with the bleeding disorder. He spoke freely time and time and time again with women all throughout the Gospels. And by speaking to them, he sent a definite message to all around him. He sent a definite message to his disciples who followed him that women mattered. Women mattered. And so just turn to somebody and say, women matter. At least one person believes that. And so that's one of the ways that Jesus valued women. That he demonstrated the value, the importance of women. And secondly, Jesus demonstrated the high value he placed on women by ministering to them. And if you would, I want you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. The Gospel of Luke, if you have your Bible, in chapter 13. And I want to share something with you this morning. Luke 13. Verse 10, Luke 13, on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She had been bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward, and he said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days and not on the Sabbath." Nice guy, right? And the Lord answered, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall, lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" And when he said this, all of his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that Jesus was doing. And this is a fascinating, fascinating account of Jesus with a woman here who was so crippled and sick. And we see Jesus entering the synagogue on the Sabbath day, which, by the way, one of the ways that we can best imitate Jesus is to faithfully attend worship on the Sabbath. Right? I mean, we're called to imitate Jesus, we're called to follow Jesus, we're called to imitate his ways, follow his teachings. And in the Gospels, you will find Jesus regularly going to church. Jesus sets the example for us. So here he is, he's in church, if you will, Jesus is, and in plain view of the religious leaders, and Jesus defends and he helps a woman who's hopelessly been bent over for 18 years. 18 years She's been crippled and bent over. And she was in the synagogue. She wasn't asking for anything. She didn't. She asked for nothing. She hadn't cornered Jesus, as some we find in the Gospels doing. She hadn't forced his hand. She didn't call attention to herself. She didn't draw any attention to herself. And Jesus could have finished his teaching. He could have gone home, and no one would have ever thought about this woman. No one would have thought a thing about this woman. But he didn't. He stopped. He called her. In fact, he says, the scripture says that he called her forward, right? He called her out from among the crowd that was there. And he spoke to her. He laid his hands on her, and he caused her to stand up straight. He healed her. He took the initiative. He recognized this woman. And by recognizing her, he assigned great value to this woman. No one else would. In fact, the synagogue leader, he would have just preferred that she come back another time when it was appropriate to be healed. And so over and over and over, we see Jesus placing high value on women as people. And he demonstrated that he cared. And he demonstrated compassion on them. And he had compassion on those who were sick. And Jesus had compassion on those who were grieving the loss of someone that they lost. And when they were caught in some sin, Jesus had compassion for the woman. And Jesus cared enough to heal women and cared enough to deliver women and set women free from the things that were holding them captive. And let me just pause to say this. Jesus hasn't changed. Right? I mean, you believe that? He's still the same compassionate Savior that he was back then. Jesus has not changed. And so I want to say today, if you're a woman today, you need to know that Jesus cares about your situation. And he doesn't just want to sit on the sidelines and watch you struggle. He wants to step into your life and bring healing or whatever help that you need. And so I want to encourage you today to ask him to minister to your life. What is it that you need? What is it that you're struggling with? Where do you need Jesus to step into your life, call you forward? Minister to you to touch your heart, to touch your mind, to touch your emotions, to touch your body. Where is it that you need Jesus to come and to minister to you? So think about that. Just chew on that for a while, ladies, and think about that. Where is it that you'd like to see Jesus call you forward, straighten you up, if you will, and not necessarily in a bad way? Amen. But there's a third way that Jesus valued women. Jesus demonstrated the high value of women by assigning them dignity. And he did this in a number of different ways. First of all, Jesus used women frequently in his illustrations. Now, we just kind of skate right on through the Gospels when we're reading it, not thinking twice about the people that he uses in his illustrations and his parables. And it may not mean too much to us, but it was a very big deal in Jesus' day that when he was sharing or teaching or sharing a parable, that he would use a woman, right, as an example. That was a big deal. And so I just encourage, do a gospel search how many times Jesus used a woman in a parable illustration. You will be amazed at how many times Jesus used a woman as an example in his teachings. Excuse me. When talking about people searching for truth, he mentions the Queen of the South who traveled to meet King Solomon. And you'll find that in the Gospels. He compared the kingdom of heaven to the leaven worked into bread dough by a woman. When he talked about the second coming of Jesus, he mentions that there would be what? There would be two women out in the field, working in the fields. He mentioned a widow to teach a lesson about receiving God's blessings. He told a parable about a woman who lost a coin and searched all over her house to find that one coin. And so his mention of women was not accidental. He was establishing this kingdom principle that women matter and are of equal importance. And everybody knew what he was doing. They knew what he was doing. But Jesus also, not only did he do that, but Jesus allowed and encouraged women to sit under his teachings. And we find in Luke chapter 10, we find a familiar scene of Jesus who entered the home of Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And the scripture says in Luke chapter 10, that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, they came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, we have to kind of take a step back, because too often we impose our culture on the Bible when we read it. And we assume that women and men sat together like we're doing, listening to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. But that wasn't the case in Jesus' day. In fact, there were along with Jesus, there were other Jewish rabbis, there were other Jewish teachers of the day who gathered disciples. But all of those rabbis always gathered male disciples, not female disciples. Women were not allowed to sit under the teaching to hear the Word of God in that day. In fact, many rabbis thought that teaching a woman was a waste of time. And so here Jesus allows this woman, Mary, to just to sit and to listen to what he was teaching in that home. And, you know, we could extract all kinds of principles and truths out of that particular account between Mary and Martha and Jesus and everybody in the house at that time. But the overarching message of the scene is Jesus was willing to teach women about spiritual matters. And by taking the time to evangelize and to teach women, he showed that God has value. He places value on every single person, regardless of their gender. And so the present patriarchal views, Jesus was saying, by not saying anything, by just allowing Mary to sit there, Jesus was saying, these are not compatible with the kingdom of God. Women matter. And finally, I want to share this, and then we're going to finish today. Jesus released and supported women having their own ministries. I want you to think with me for just a moment. It was a woman who anointed Jesus' feet, and Jesus blessed her, right? It was a woman who anointed his head, and Jesus blessed her. In fact, in Luke chapter 8, there are women who supported Jesus' ministry financially, followed him for 3 years. This is what it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. It's right up there. You can see it. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, many others, and these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Interesting. I mean, when you think of names like Mary Magdalene, you think of names like Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, Susanna. I almost want you to come home to me, right? So, Susanna, did you hear that? Right, yeah, I know, I heard it too. Right? Yeah. You should think about the women who followed and worked right alongside of Jesus and the disciples. And sometimes we miss that in the Gospels. We miss that entirely. Women were there involved in the ministry of Jesus, right along and all throughout his ministry. It was the women who were there at the foot of the cross. Women were there at the empty tomb. Women were there going back and announcing to the disciples that Jesus was alive. Women were there in the upper room when Pentecost fell and the Holy Spirit came. Women and men were right along together. So the message still remains the same, that women matter to Jesus. He values them highly. And that was then, but I want to finish by bringing things into the present and making this personal. And so I want to just share first a few words to the ladies, and then I want to share a few words for the men this morning. First, for every woman today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, many of you, regardless of whether you are a mother or not, you know what it means to be underappreciated. You know what it means to be unthanked. You know what it means to be undervalued. You know what it means to be overlooked. You know what it means that maybe to be objectified. And taken for granted. And so I want you all to hear this. All of you ladies, I want you to hear this. I want it to run deep in your souls. Jesus appreciates you and values you. You are important in the eyes of God. He loves you and he wants the best for you. What he wants to do, even with several of you, especially young women, is to affirm you. He wants to affirm you. And for some, he's seen the pain in your life and he wants to come and bring healing in your heart. And he also wants to lead some of you into some significant and important ministry inside the church and outside the church. And so for all of you ladies today, Jesus values you. He affirms you. You are important to Jesus. So just hear that today. Just let that run deep in your heart. And then for all of us as men, I'm going to ask you just to make a special commitment today. But not just for today. Make it a way of life, a way of living for you. Because Jesus placed a high value in women. He did it by treating them as real people. In no way did Jesus degrade a woman. In no way did he limit them as far as ministry. In no way did Jesus ridicule a woman. In no way did Jesus speak harshly to a woman. In no ways did Jesus ever overlook a woman or pay little attention to a woman. And so, men, if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to do the same today. We need to treat women our lives, the women in our lives, like real people with real needs. And so I'm just asking you, are you thanking all the women for their presence and contribution in your life. I'm just going to encourage you, if you're not, begin to do so, right? Are you appreciating them for who they are and the gifts that God has placed within them? If not, let's begin to do so. And so, men, those that are serving in different ways and encouraging others, and just encourage them to follow God's leading in ministry. And so we need to be doing the same things, treating the women the same ways that Jesus was treating women. Amen? And so I think for men, let's make that our commitment today. So let's just stand together this morning. It's a good day. God, we thank you that you set the example for us. And we want your example to be the highest example, over and above all of the other examples that we might have seen in our lives as it regards to women. We know, Lord, that you created us male and female, and that you value us equally. I pray that we could follow the ways of the kingdom when we think about these kinds of things. Lord, we love you today. We worship you today. May your name be honored today. May women be honored today. Lord, I pray that you would call some women forward today. That you would recognize them. Share your love and your grace and your healing touch with them. Call them forward, Lord, out of the faceless crowd, to let them know that they're important, that you believe in them. Come do a good thing, God, in their hearts. Thank you, God, for today. We thank you for your presence and your personal word to us. May we experience your blessings this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Be blessed. Enjoy your days. Grab a cupcake.